Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Daf Chaf Beis. Begin right on top at the Mishnah. Sukkah HaMeduvlelas, a sukkah which is Meduvlelas, which will be defined in the Gemara. Vishetzilasa Merubim Chamasa, a sukkah whose shade is greater than its sunlight. Kishera. Continues the Mishnah, Mu'ubo kimin bayis. Suppose the schach of the sukkah is so thick it appears like the roof of a house. Afapish ein hakechavim nirin mitoicha kshera. Even though these stars cannot be discerned when peering out from within the sukkah, still the sukkah is kosher, and it appears from the Mishnah. Lichatchila, you meant to notice your stars. In fact, that's how it's paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mefarshim say, noticing the stars from within the sukkah arouses a feeling of awe, and it's meant to be me'orer emuna in Hashem, the vastness of the universe, and that's l'chatchila, meant to happen, but b'di'evid, the sukkah is still kosher. Ma'i meduvlelas, asks the Gemara, what exactly is that? We have two opinions, Amar Rav, sukkah aniyah, a poor sukkah, just barely enough schach, many air pockets, each one of course being less than 3 tefachim, but you barely have enough schach to create more shade than sun, says the Ritva. The Chiddush is, I'm not concerned perhaps that the wind will come and disperse the schach and be poisel the sukkah. If it looks good now, you can go with it. That's Rav's opinion. Meduvlelas is a sukkah aniya, a poor sukkah with barely enough schach. Ushmul Amar, you know what meduvlelas means? Kone oile vekone yered. One stick going up, one reed going down, so the schach is not lying on the same level. And that's what the sukkah, the Mishnah is speaking about. Explains the Gemara. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Rav, Tani Chad. Rav presents the Mishnah as though it's speaking only about one case. Shmuel, Tani Tati. Shmuel has two halachas contained in our Mishnah. What does this mean? Rav, Tani Chad. Rav learned the Mishnah as though it's presenting only one halacha. Mishnah begins, Sukkah Meduvlelas. What does that mean? My Meduvlelas, Meduldelas. Lashon of dal, poor. Barely enough schach. But you have enough where it's going to be more shade than the sun. Shetzi losa Meruba Mechamasa, Kshiru. So this means one and the same case. A Sukkah which is Meduldelas, who happens to have more shade than the sun, it's kosher. Don't worry about the fact that it's just barely crossing that threshold. Ushmul Tani Tarti. Shmuel applied two halachas. He learned that the Mishnah contains two separate cases. First, the Mishnah begins Sukkah Meduvlelas, which means my Meduvlelas Mibulbelas. Mixed up, not level, so one kana going up, one kana going down, not lying uniform. Utai Tiktani, and there were actually two halachas contained in our Mishnah. Firstly, Sukkah Mibubelas Kshera. A mixed up schach is good, even though it's not lying level. And Rashi, by the way, learns that as a result of this unlevel schach, the sukkah actually has more sun than shade. It's still good. We combine all these schaches together, all the beams together, all the reeds together. And since they have the ability to provide more shade than sun, although in actuality, says Rashi, there is more sun than shade because of the misleveled schach, which allows the sun to get through, it's still kosher. That's the first halacha in the Mishnah. Mibul belas is kosher. And we have the second halacha, vish vitzi losa brumucha masa kosher. If you have a sukkah which has barely enough schach, this is like Rav, many air pockets, but since the end result is more shade than sun in your sukkah, it's kosher. So according to Shmuel, there were actually two halachas contained in our Mishnah. One is schach, which is not leveled, in which case you have more sun than shade in your sukkah, and it's still kosher. It's minus chiddush, according to Rash. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, how could you say it's more sun than shade? Look, when the sun is directly overhead, you're going to have more shade than sun in your sukkah. He disagrees with Rashi's pshat, but Rashi learns that we have a sukkah which has more chama than tzeil and it's still kosher because if you would have the schach line together uniformly, that schach would generate more shade than the sun. If that's the case, the sukkah is kosher. So that's the first halacha. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah contains a second halacha as well, which was Rav's case. You have many air pockets in your schach, but at the end of the day, it's the loss of meruba, and the sukkah is kosher. Now, the Mepharshim say, the Rishonim say that it doesn't seem that there's machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. It's just simply a question of how to learn our Mishnah, meaning Rav would agree to Shmuel that when you have an unlevel schach, the sukkah will still be kosher if, in totality, that schach can provide more shade than sun. So in summary, sukkah m'duvleles, v'shetzilosim rum ha'masas k'sheru. According to Rav, it's one and the same case. Sukkah m'duvleles, many air pockets. But since, at the end of the day, there's more shade than sun, you're good. Shmuel learns that there are two halachas in the Mishnah, Rav's case, m'duvleles, and m'duvleles as well. It's mixed up, it's not lined uniformly. And the way Rashi learns, even though it generates more sun than shade, it's okay because we sort of virtually push down the higher schach, we put it down the same level as the lower schach. And since the schach has the ability to be masachich, it's kosher, that's the first halacha in the Mishnah. Then the second halacha is, v'shitzilatzim r'mecham mosav, there are lots of air pockets in your schach. But since, at the end of the day, it's more tzeil than chamo, you're kosher. Amar Abaye le'ishanu, this halacha of Shmuel, when the schach is not lying uniformly, one is going up, one going down, it's still okay. Leishon, that's only said, Ela she'ein ben zeh lezeh shleisha tefachim. When the height difference, the gap between the upper reed and the lower reed, is less than 3 tefachim, which is within the striking range of lavud, we can view them as though they're one and the same schach. Aval yesh ben zeh lezeh shleisha tefachim psula. But if the gap between the kana going up and the kana going down is 3 or more tefachim, it's possible. Why? Because then we can't view them as one single schach. And it's possible, according to Rashi, because at the end of the day, you have more sun than shade in your sukkah, and you can't view the all the kana as though they're all one schach, which can provide sail. You don't have that element here because they're too far apart. The sukkah is possible. Tosis learns differently. He says, it's not a concern of tzeil. He says, in any case, when the sun is directly overhead, you'll have more tzeil than chama. Rather, Tosis learns, it's lechoshiv schach litztarev kai gavma. He says, if you have a 3 tefach discrepancy, height difference between the different pieces of your schach, they can't really be considered one and the same entity, and you don't have a single mesachech on your sukkah. So Abaye tells us it's only a concern if it's 3 or more between the levels. Amar Rava, afilu yesh ben zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim, says Rava, look, even if you have a 3 tefach height difference, namu lo yamar, that also will not be a concern, only elo b'she'ein b'gagay tefach. If the upper kana is not a tefach wide, aval yesh b'gagay tefach, suppose the upper reed is a tefach wide, so it's covering an area of a tefach. It's kosher because we apply another type of virtual machitza. Rashi says it's like gur'aches. It's another version of gur'aches. Chavoit means bring down the upper kana. Bring it down. Rami, throw it down. Chavoit rami is that lachem eshem esinai. When it has a din of oil. So if the kana, which is lamala, is a tefach wide, in which case it serves as an oil, that's the minimum size to function as an oil. So it's hovering over the area directly beneath it. It's affecting anything below it. Chavai Drami tells us, let's view that oil as if it's placed down there on the bottom. We bring it down. And we seat him alongside the other kanim lying there. And now we can treat them as though they're one and the same. It's just one level of schach. So again, this concept of kana lamala, kana lamata is only going to work in one of two cases. Abaye says, if it's within 3 tefachim, so you apply the concept of lavud, going to Rav, even if it's beyond Ritvachim, but if that upper schach is a tefach wide and serves as an oil, you can bring it down. You view it as though he's lying lower alongside the other pieces of schach, and they're considered one and the same unit. How do I know this? The chavit rami will be applied if it is a tefach wide, as opposed to v'chileshpe lo yamrinan chavit rami. You cannot apply chavit rami if it's less than tefach wide. How do I know that a tefach is the determinant factor of whether or not to apply chavit rami? This not. Listen to this mishnah always. Koyrus habayis v'aliyah she'ein aleihem maziv. You have beams running across your first floor, on which the second floor is meant to be built. You have beams running across your second floor, on which the roof is meant to be built. This building is in the middle of construction, has yet to be completed. So you only have the koyres habayis, running over the first floor, and then you have the koyres of the aliyah, running over the second floor. She'ein aleihem aziv, which don't have any flooring on top of them. So you have just plain beams, just a skeleton structure. Vein mechuvanis. And these beams are situated directly over each other. So you have the beams over the first floor, you have another set of beams over the second floor, directly over each other. Tuma achas mehen. Now we're speaking that the beams are tefach wide, so they can serve, they can function as an oil. Tuma achas mehen. Suppose there's some tuma beneath one of the lower beams. Anything beneath that beam is tummy, because the beam spreads the tumah throughout the entire area beneath it. It's tefach wide, it's an oil. If there's tumah between the lower beam and the upper beam, anything between those two beams or within the oil of those two beams, and it's tummy. If there's a tumah sitting on top of the upper beam, anything hovering directly above that tumah, whether close by or up to the rakia, he's tummy. Hayu ha'al yoynos kibena tachtoynos. Now, up until now, we spoke that the upper beams are situated directly above the lower beams. What about if hayu ha'al yoynos kibena tachtoynos? They weren't directly above the bottom beams. Rather, they were positioned directly above, not the beams, the space between the lower beams. Right? So the upper beams are situated right over the space, the airspace, between the lower beams. So now, since the upper beams are tefach wide, we can apply chavayt rami, and we view them as though they're actually positioned between the lower beams. And now you have one continuous roof, which includes both sets of beams. So again, hoyu ha'al yoynes kibena tachtoynes. Tuma tachtein, if there's any tuma situated beneath any of these beams, since they're all considered one and the same roof, tachas kulan tamei, anything lying beneath any of these beams are tamei, it's all one continuous roof. Al gaben, if there's any tumah above these beams, kenegdan ador kia tameh, anything above that tumah up until the kia is tameh. But beneath the beams, atar, because the beam is an oil, which is mafsik. It stops the tumah from spreading to the area beneath it. V'taneela, we have a brayta which explains the Mishnah. Medva mamurim, what is this halacha said? Bizman sheesh ben tefach. A, the beams need to be a tefach wide. U'benim pasech tefach, and the space between the lower beams need to be a tefach wide. So number one, the lower beams are tefach wide, and the space beneath them as well. Which would imply that the upper beams, which are meant to be situated directly above that airspace, are also tefach wide. In that case, we can apply the Mishnah, because we can apply all these concepts of oil, chavayt rami, speaking about tefach wide beams. But suppose the space between the lower beams are less than a tefach in width, in which case the upper beams, which are situated directly above that airspace, are also less than a tefach wide. Then we cannot apply chavayt rami. So what happens? Tuma tachas achas men. If there's tuma situated between, beneath, under the lower beams, the beams of the first floor, tachteo tuma. Anything beneath that particular beam is tuma, because that beam, which is an oil tefach, spreads the tuma to the entire area beneath itself, but it stops right there. Binein, the space between the beams, valga beim, or above the beams, altar. Why? Because since the airspace between the lower beams are less than a tefach wide, in which case the upper beams, which are situated directly above that airspace, are apparently also less than a tefach wide. Because the size of the upper beams match the size of the airspace between the lower beams. It's less than a tefach, so the upper beams are apparently less than a tefach. In which case, we cannot apply chavet rami. We cannot lower the upper beams. But that's a concept that only applies to an oil. When you're roofing an area, when you're functioning as an oil, you're affecting the area beneath you, then we view you as though you're sitting down there. Since your effect is felt all the way down there, it's as though you're there. But if you're less than a tefach, you don't have a divine oil. So you remain suspended up in the air. In which case, now the lower set of beams are separate beams, no connection, there's no continuity. It's not all one roof, so there's tuma beneath one of them. Beneath that beam is tuma, but it stops right there. Alma, apparently, ki is be tefach amrinin chavayt rami. When the oil has a tefach, we apply chavayt rami, we bring them down. V'chiles be tefach, but when it doesn't have a tefach, lo yamrinin chavayt rami, we cannot apply chavayt rami. This is a raya shmamina, it's a raya to Rava, who presented chavayt rami in this light. Yos Rav Kahana v'ka'amr lo lashmait. Rav Kahana was sitting and saying over this halacha, which halacha? The chavayt rami only applies to a rochav tefach. Amle Rav Ashla Rav Kahana, is that so? V'chalecha. The last be tefach, lo yamrinin chavayt rami. We cannot apply chavayt rami. When it's less than a tefach in width, but tiny, listen to this brisa. Brisa in Erevin. Koy ra yoytze mikoys al zeh, ve'eina negas mikoys al zeh. You have the kura situated at the entranceway to the Mavi, the alleyway going to Shisarabim, which requires a cross beam positioned at its entrance, to create that hecker of separation between itself and Shisarabim, which would allow carrying the Mavi. So you have this kura, which is yoytza mikoys al zeh. It starts off coming out of this wall. Ve'eino nagas because of zeh, and doesn't make it over to the other side. So you have the alleyway, into Shisarabim. And the kura is meant to cross over the entranceway, but never makes it across. It starts from one side, doesn't end the other. V'chein shtei kuras, if you have two beams, each one starting off from opposite sides. Achas yoytza mikoys al zeh, one starts from this wall. The other one starting from the other side, but they don't meet in the middle. It runs out of material. They haven't met up with each other. So what's the halacha? Can they serve as a kira? Well, it depends how large the gap is. It's less than 3 tefachim, less than lavad. No need to bring another one. Less than 3 tefachim, we consider the gap to be non-existent. And you have a full functioning kira. Shloisha. So the gap is 3 or more, beyond Lovin. So Ruch Lovin Kari Acheres, you have to replace it with another beam. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, see, he holds that Lovin is dependent upon 4 Tfachim. Why 4 Tfachim? That's a Makam Chashim. That creates a true separation, a true gap. So according to Shimon Gamliel, throughout the entire Torah, instead of Lovin being less than 3 Tfachim, as long as it's less than 4, you haven't reached a Makam Chashim. You can still connect, you can ignore that gap. So pachas ma'abba, the gap is less than 4 tefachim, you apply lavad. And sarach lavad kar acheres, no need to bring a different kar. But if it's arba, then yeah, sarach lavad kar acheres. Continues the price. V'chein shtei kares hamat imus. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that the crossbeam placed at the entranceway to the Mavi is meant to present itself, it's meant to appear like part of the Mavi structure. So it's meant to be a beam of significant size. at least a tefach wide, which can appear like he's part of the, like a structure. He's a beam large enough to support on itself a brick. Actually, in Ervin says it's supposed to look like Tchilas Binyan. It's part of the structure there. So the Kur is meant to be a tefach wide. What if your Kur is less than a tefach wide? You have two Kuris lying side by side. This one is not wide enough to support an Ariach. Nor is the second one wide enough to accept upon itself an Ariach. What's an Ariach? So, Ariach is half of a Levena. Levena is a large size brick, which they used to use, which was 3x3 Tfachim. So 3 Tfachim long, 3 Tfachim wide. An Ariach is half that. It's a split Levena, which is now going to be 3 long and 1.5 wide. Right, you took 3x3, split into 2. So the Ariach is 3 long and 1.5 wide. So its long side is 3 tefach. Its narrow side is 1.5. The curve needs to be a tefach wide. Why? To support upon itself, theoretically, to support an Ariach on its narrow side. So the Ariach on its narrow side is 1.5. You place it on the Kura, which is a tefach wide, and that's okay. Even though there's some overlap, Mars says, because he'll fill the overlap with some cement to support it properly on the Kura. So we're making a tefach is enough. What if the Kura does not have a tefach? And he happens to have two twin beams lying side by side, each one less than a tefach. So what's the halacha? Im mekablis ariach l'rach by tefach. If both together, in total, are a tefach wide, so this one's a half, this one's a half, and they can be mekabel l'riach l'rachbay, which means they can support the narrow side of the ariach, which is a tefach and a half. As long as they have a tefach and width, that's okay. Ain't tzorach l'havikar acheres, there's no need to bring another one. Vim lav, but if they don't have that depth, they're not a tefach wide. So both together are less than a tefach, tzorach l'havikar acheres, you have to bring another one. So Shimon Gamliel Omer, he's more lenient. He says like this. Even you don't have a total of tefach between the two beams, and they're actually not even situated next to each other. Im mekablis ariach la'orka shlesha tefachim. Even if they can support the ariach on its long side, meaning, suppose they're close enough to each other that would allow you to place the Ariach over its long side, which is 3 Tfachim. So not that far apart. They're close enough that they can support an Ariach La'arkai, the Ariach placed over its long side. A little bit on this curve, a little bit on that curve, so they can support this Ariach lying on its Arkai, on the 3 Tefach side, and they're strong enough to support the Ariach. Ain't tzorach l'havikar acheres. You don't have to get another one. Vim lav, but otherwise, tzorach l'havikar acheres. So he's makel. He holds even if the two kairos together don't have a reich of tefach. So the actual material here isn't the tefach wide, but if you space them in a way where they can still support an Ariach, even the arkai. So even if they're actually not a tefach wide, but by strategically placing them next to each other, they can uphold this Ariach. Even though he's lying along his long side, so they're far apart, but not too far apart, that's enough to consider the Kur as part of the Mavi, part of the structure, and you're okay. So this is all if they're lying side by side. What about if they're not on the same level? Hoyu achas lamala, achas lamata. One beam is lying up, one lower down. So what's halacha now? Rabbi Yosef Bida Imer, Roin al yoyne ki hilamata. We visualize the upper akira, the higher one, as though he's lying down bottom, together with the low one, as though they're on the same level. Or alternatively, we view the lower one, kilu hilamala, as though he's lying together on the same level with the upper kira. Ubovat, provided Shaloitel Yoina Lamalam Esramam, at the upper Kura, the higher one, is not beyond the 20 Amma mark. Right, because if it's beyond 20 Ammas of the Mavi, it can't relate to the Mavi. Perhaps you don't notice it. One of the Pshat and Mar Ervin. So if it's beyond 20, in any case, you can't include it into the equation here. So the upper one can't be beyond 20. And likewise, Vatachtoina, the lower one, can't be Lamata Masar. Can't be below 10 Tfachim, which is 10 Tfachim is the minimum height for a Machitza. Ha, Zeva Zebetoich Esrim, but apparently, if both sections of your Kaira are within the 20 Amma limit, Amrinat Chavayt Rami, we apply Chavayt Rami, we say, look, the higher one is lined together with the lower one. Chavayt Rami, Avakav Les Beit Tefach, even though we're not speaking that as a Tefach in width, otherwise you would need to combine them with the other ones. Starting point is that it's less than a Tefach wide. We apply Chavayt Rami. Since he's hovering over this area, he's affecting the area, we view him as though he's lying down in the area below him, and he's going to match up with his friend down below. That's the Kashan Rava, who insisted that Chavayt Rami only applies when the oil has significance, when he has a din of an oil Tefach. Asks Tosis, well, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Apparently Chacham disagree. It's his chiddush. We say Royinus al Yoin Kilu Lamata, but the Chacham don't allow this method to be applied here by the Kaira. So why is it a Kashan Rava? Says Tosis, that's not the machlokes. Whether or not we apply Chavayt Rami to less than a Tefach, we'll agree that Chavayt Rami works for less than a Tefach. The reason why the Chachamim don't allow this to be applied in our case of a Mavi, that's because the Kaira has to appear like he's part of the Mavi structure. The point is to create Heker, an impression of separateness. You have to see him as part of the Mavi. And that only works if he's large enough in size, if he appears like a proper beam that can be considered part of the structure, he can support bricks, etc. But if it's lying in this manner, one up there, one down there, Rabban don't hold that you can somehow relate one to the other. It's missing in the Heker, and you can't get around this. So it's not because Chavayt Rami, in principle, won't apply. It's a specific restriction pertaining to Mavi. But says Tosfos, even the Rabbanu would agree that otherwise Chavayt Rami, in concept, can apply even to less than a Tefach, and that's a Kashan Rav. Amalei, so Rav Kahana, who was saying over this halacha in the name of Rava, responded to Rav Ashi's challenge as follows. Teritzei Mahachi, interpret the Braisa like this. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda was saying like this. If you have a two-part Kaira, one high above, one down below, it works, provided that the higher one isn't beyond 20, that's beyond reach, and the lower one is within three tefachim. Love it applies, even if it's less than a tefach. So that's the first case of the Brais. We're not applying Chavayt Rami. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda is addressing two different cases. First he speaks about the upper one being within 20 and the lower one within three tefachim of the upper one. So there's a less than three tefach height discrepancy, and that's Lavud. You can connect them without Chavayt Rami inami. Alternatively, that's the second case in the Brais. Suppose we're speaking about very low koira. Have to make sure that the lower one isn't below 10. That's the minimum height. And where is the upper one? It's not sitting up at the 20 amma mark. No, right nearby. The higher one is within 3. But certainly if there's a 3 tefach height discrepancy, keep it less by tefach. Since each section, each koira here is less than a tefach wide, you certainly can't apply Chavayt Rami, as Rava taught. Okay, so in summary, we learn about a sukkah which is Muduv Lelis, Vishetzilasim Rum Chamasa. Rav learns that the Mishnah is simply describing one case, a poor sukkah, barely enough schach, just some thinned out schach, lots of air spaces. But if The sum total of Schachir creates more tzel than Chamer, you're okay. Don't be concerned about further dispersion, about the erosion of the Schach. Shmuel says the mission contains two halachas. One is Rav's case, and secondly, when you have Schach, which is not lying level to each other, one going up, one going down, it's going to work as well, provided, says Abaye, provided the height difference is less than 3, or according to Rav, even if it's more than 3, but the Schach, each section, or at least the upper section, is a tefach wide, in which case it serves as an oil, and you can bring them down over the area, down to the area where he's covering, the area that he's affecting. So if you, as though he's actually sitting down there, and now he's level with the rest of the Schach. And the Gemara concluded that Chavayit Rami only applies to an oil which has a tefach, which is functioning as an oil. Continues the Gemara, v'shitzilos emrum v'chamosak shir. As more shade than sun, you're okay. Hoki adodi psula. Apparently, if the sun and the shade are equal, 50-50, you're possible. V'atnan bidach pirkin. Take a look at the Mishnah back in the first parak, Beis Amaral. V'shachamosam emrum v'chamosak psula. There's more sun than shade, it's possible. Hoki adodi kshir. Apparently, it's 50-50, you're good. So what's the halacha, 50-50? Is it possible, like our Mishnah implies, or is it kosher? As the first Mishnah implies, like Kasha, the answer is, depends on your perspective. 50-50 isn't really good. You know why? Like Kasha, ha milamala, kamalamata. Kamalamala means, if you're viewing the schach from up there, you're standing on the roof, and it's 50-50, and it's no good. Why? Explains Rashi, because the other side is open and exposed, which allows sunlight through. Sunlight disperses and spreads. In which case your sukkah will be mostly sunny, and therefore it's possible. So our Mishnah, which tells us 50-50 is possible, that's because he's viewing it from up on top. If you have 50% schach, 50% airspace, in which case your actual sukkah will have more sunlight, and it's possible. Kamalamata. Back enough base, where we learn 50-50 is good, Malamata. We're speaking about within the sukkah itself, the floor of the sukkah is mostly, is 50-50, that's okay. Because as long as you have 50% shade, that's fine. Omar Papa, Hainu Dam Inchi. This works with the common saying, which goes as follows. Kezuzim al-el. When the air pocket appears, like the zuz, to be just small air pocket the size of a zuz, Kedistrum al-tachas, it's going to generate a sunny area larger than a zuz, like an istra, greater than a zuz, because the sunlight disperses and spreads. Let's go over to Rash, off to the left here. Kamalamala kamalamata. So we have a stira. What's halacha 50-50? Mishnah back enough base says it's fine. Here we learn that it's not good. Says then what depends what you're looking at. The schach itself, 50-50 is no good. The sukkah itself, 50-50 is fine. Holy daikinan ki adadi psula. The dig from Al Mishnah, the 50-50 is possible. Lo malakoy. Speaking about the schach itself. Kesheish men kana lo kana kum lo kana. When the space between the kana equals the size of the kana, afilu mitzumtzum psula. Even if it's exactly 50-50, it's possible. Why? So although technically 50-50 is good, but the sunlight which will enter your sukkah is going to light up your sukkah and undo the schach effect. It's going to be posel that schach. Because of that airspace alongside your schach, you have lots of sunlight in your sukkah, and it's going to appear greater than the shade. Now the other dig from Mishnah of Beis, that 50-50 is fine. That's referring to the condition of the sukkah down below, shechama v'tzel shoven, we have 50-50, shade and sun, and you're okay, b'yodua shechakonim chavon avar, and certainly the schach on top is more than the airspace. Kezuzim aleil, keastirim al tachas, kshanek evrochav kshir zuz, when the hole on top is the size of a zuz, chamasa merubu lamata kishir sel, it's going to generate. How much sunlight below? More than a zuz. It's going to reach Sela, which is more than a Zuz. Likewise over here, you have 50-50 on top. The Chama within the Sukkah is going to be greater than the Tzel. Therefore, the Sukkah is Pas. So bottom line is, according to Rashi, when the schach is 50-50, sukkah is pasul. If the shade below is 50-50, sukkah is kosher. Ask Tosfos Akasha on Rashi. Who's speaking here in the Gemara? Who's the Mandama? Rav Papa. Rav Papa himself holds that parutz ka'imir is kosher. Yeah, machitza, which is half standing, half breached, that's fine. So why would you say that 50-50 in your schach is no good? Answer the Rishonim on Rashi. True. If it's a machitza, 50-50 is fine. But we're speaking about schach. It's different. It's meant to be masachich. It's meant to function as a shade producer, a shade provider, to shield, to shelter the sukkah from the sun. Which case, you have to have shade in your sukkah. Now, listen to this. There's really another kasha. Before we get to that first teretz, I have to put in another kasha. Really, the Gemara itself seems to be a kasha on Rashi. Because back, on Daf Tesvav, the Gemara actually compared the two things. You may remember the Gemishna on Daf Tesvav, which spoke about Makar Sukasai Bishvudin of Aruchas Amita. Im yesh revach b'neim k'moysen k'shira. This fellow used rods, which are pasul. The mission says if the space between the rods, which he filled with schach kosher, is equal in size to the actual rods, then you're okay. The Gemara says, this is in line with Rav Papa, who holds that 50-50 is good. Right? And here we have Rav Papa speaking again, and according to Rashi's pshat, 50-50 is no good. So there's a stira in the two Gemaras. Open stira. There we say 50% schach kosher alongside 50% schach pasul is fine according to Rav Papa. Parutz ka'imit, 50-50 is good. And here Rav Papa himself subscribes to the shita that 50-50 of schach is no good. 50 is schach, 50% airspace is no good according to Rashi. How do you work this out? Answer the Rishonim. The answer is like this. Depends what's in the other half. The Gemara there, and after Zvav was speaking, it was 50% schach kosher, alongside 50% schach pasul. Sukkah is fully covered, fully shaded. In that case, we say 50% schach kosher is okay. It's enough. You don't have enough schach pasul to sort of undo the schach kosher. It's like a mechitza, which is half standing, half breached. There's enough there to be considered a mechitza. It's not batal b'roiv. He's 50%. Here as well. Sukkah is shaded by 50% schach kosher. That's enough. Over here we're speaking that the other half is exposed. It's avir. So true, 50% schach is fine. But that's provided the sukkah is shaded. In this case, the sukkah is sunny. So although theoretically schach is sufficient, but since the sun comes through the other half, comes through the exposed roof and lights up your sukkah, and the sukkah now is chamasa meruba mitzilasa, that undoes the schach, that's a poisel on the schach. It's a non-functioning schach. We have a sunny sukkah. So in this case, even Rav Papa would agree that it is possible. That's Rashi's approach to the sukkah. Now, Tosfos disagrees. He learns differently. He says 50-50 is fine. So if you have 50% schach, even 50% airspace alongside that schach, your sukkah is fine. He learns the Gemara a bit differently. This is Rabbeinu Tam speaking. He says, milamala milamata is as follows. We're speaking about your point of view, your perspective. Milamala means you're standing on the schach. 50-50 is fine. Why not? Milamata means if you're standing down below and peering upwards, and it appears to you that it's 50-50, then it's no good. You know why? It's an optical illusion. Because really, it's more airspace than schach. It's just the way it is. When looking from afar, the airspace, which is not really so noticeable as a solid object, appears to shrink in size. It gets diminished relative to the solid material, the schach, lying nearby. Says it in the Tam. That's what the Gemara means. Milamata. If the fellow standing in the sukkah and peering upwards towards the schach, to him it appears like it's 50-50, then you know he's wrong. since he's looking from afar, it's really more than 50-50. It's really only 49% schach and 51% airspace. So again, according to Rabbi Tam, milamala, meaning when you're standing on the schach and you see it's 50-50, that's fine. 50% is okay. But milamata, when you're standing down below looking upward and it appears to you like it's 50-50, it's really a mistake. It's an optical illusion. So since in reality it's 51% airspace and only 49% schach, you don't have enough schach. So bottom line is, according to Rashi, 50-50, real 50-50 of schach is no good because the sukkah lights up as a result of the sun protruding through. Whereas according to Rabbi Tam, we look at the schach itself. Forget about the surface of the sukkah down below. Look at the schach itself. It's like a mechitza. 50-50, it's fine. Like parrots gaimen is good. Continues the Gemara, mu'uvikim in bayis. Let's say the schach is so thick. You have too much schach. It looks like a house. Mishnah says, even though you can't really notice the stars from within your sukkah, it's okay. And it's vasemes, v'farshim, v'medayik, the lechatchil, you meant to actually see the stars. Tanu Rabbanan, mu'uvikim in bayis. Even though you don't see the stars, it's still kosher. What about if it's so thick that you don't see the sun's rays during the day? It's so thick that you can't even notice the rays of the sun from within your sukkah. That's Rashi's pshat. Adam Mefarshim learned kechav chama means the large sized stars which are generally visible even during the daytime. So that's how thick your schach is. Mishamei poislam. Oh, that's too far. Appears like a bias. Ubesil machshir. They say no. It's fine even in this case. But of course it's mashma lechatchila. Even according to Beisilol, the schach shouldn't be that thick to block the kechav chama from within your sukkah. Now, by the way, in first of all, medayik, that it doesn't mean that you have to sit in the sukkah and see the sun coming through. It says mitaycha, nirum mitaycha, meaning if you peer upwards through the schach, you're meant to notice the kechavim, whether it's kechavim laila, the kechavim chamam. It's only mitaycha that is required. Okay, let's do a brief chazara. We began with the Mishnah, which discussed a sukkah luvlelis, which is losim rum mechamasim. At Upshatim, Rav says, it's one case, it's a sukkah middul delis, very little schach, just barely enough, don't worry about it, since it is losim rum chamasim, that's fine. Shmuel learns that in addition to that case, we have another case, which is mubul belis, schach is lying unevenly, kana oilib, kana yared, it's also fine. And the Gemara concludes, provided that the height difference is merely less than 3 tefachim, or, the way Rav presented it, or if the upper piece of schach is a tefach wide, which case it's serving as a proper oil, and we could apply chavayit to Rami, bring him down, and lie him next to the other sections of schach. We learned about a sukkah which is 50-50. Rashi says, 50-50 and schach is no good, because the sunlight will reach the sukkah and light it up. So 50-50 has to be down below in the sukkah itself. You have to have 50-50 sun versus shade. Tosfos learns, no, even lamali, even if the schach itself is only 50-50, that's fine. Regarding kechavim, two types of kechavim, we have the kechavim yoim, according to be a sil chatchil, meant to be visible from within your sukkah, according to be a shama, it is me'akiv. Kechavim laila, according to all shittas, and me'akiv, however, it is meant to be so, at least lechatchil. All the best and cultivate you.